up on you?
How are we gonna restore 15 to 20 million jobs? I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. Always happy to be with you on this Wednesdays of the year. It's important that a broadcast like ours continues to get the message out. And today we're going to talk about some additional ideas that I'm always hearing from our people in the travels. I have to tell you, as I go around to various events, to social events, to family events, people have a lot of things to talk about, which is really good. And it's the most important thing that I believe that has happened as a result of our broadcast. People are talking, not just sitting and thinking to themselves, but they're talking amongst themselves. And everyone that comes even to visit our office and that I go on visitations, they tell me, Michael, I like what you have to say. In fact, someone told me just yesterday, I like what Larkin said on the radio a week or so ago. He said, we need goals. Wow. Good observation. And I like that very, very much. Well, once again today, we are broadcasting on 860 AM radio. And if you have family and friends that would enjoy our broadcast, they can go on to 860 AM if they live in the Philadelphia tri-state area. And also, you can listen from anywhere in the USA or around the world simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link every Wednesday between 11 and 12, and you'll be able to hear our rebroadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, simply by logging on to the same address, AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and click on the Listen Anytime rebroadcast. I want to say a very special thank you to our outstanding panel members who include Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store. And I want to remind all of you again that we have a logo right next to Mark's face there on the front page. Just click on that logo. It goes to his store. Support Mark because you know it's 100% American-made products. Mark is tougher than most people I know. Larkin Connolly likes to look at all sides of the story, give his opinion, and I like that. He's a national advocate for small business. He also was very involved with SCORE, a business owner, and just somebody that has been around, and his opinion is very valued. There's also Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, who is on a special assignment today, so he won't be here with us. And our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I am Michael Blihash. Always, always, always proud to meet you in my travels because you help me know what's going on. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, for many years, efforts like the Buy American Made campaign have been working very hard to get this message out to the people. Buy American, support local businesses. But it's been through broadcasts like American Workers Radio. Many local programs repeat my weekly commentaries during their weekend shows here in the United States. And it's a growing number of people doing that, and I can't thank them enough. And thank them for promoting our Wednesday show as well. We also do things on the internet and on social media. It helps to get the message across. However, I'd like to say we've been asking for people to give us opinions for a long time. I always say that, especially in the weekly commentaries. And an ongoing suggestion I receive is to urge America's national news media to promote jobs and job training for Americans. You know, supporting local businesses and the media should be really uniting people because it's an important thing to have businesses in the local communities. They are able to advertise in the media. They're able to keep people employed and also talk to the media about restoring trades and industrial arts and so many of the other programs for students in our schools. The reason I'm saying that, it would be great for America's students to have a better idea of the job opportunities that'll really be available for them upon graduation. You know, you go to a college, you put out all that money, and somebody graduates and you say to them, well, what's next? Well, I don't know. I'm looking into things. I think it should be when you're coming out of high school and even college that you know where you're going. There was a man in Greece, the person who made the first map. He mapped out the region that people should travel so that they wouldn't get lost and be, you know, roaming around doing nothing. And he did that in the year 626 BC during the Neo-Babylonian Empire time. And he did that because he wanted people to get to one place to another because they were doing trade with countries in the area of Greece. And many times they would, you know, if it was raining or something, they had some difficulties. So he made this map. And of course, our government leaders, our business leaders, and our parents, as well as all the trade schools in America, should be speaking up about it. Trade schools in America were established to prepare young people for vocational education, which balances what we're going through over the years. We can't have the continued situation where 10,000 Americans retire every day and brain drain all that talent and skill, take it with them, and have no one to come up the line of succession for them to fill the jobs so badly needed in this country. And this is one of the reasons outsourcing jobs into the countries where they are promoting vocational arts and trades has been so important. Our American businesses simply can't find the people anymore and haven't been able to in the last 25 and 30 years. As the programs in the schools diminished, no one spoke up. It wasn't in the national media. It wasn't the unions, the non-unions, the business people. Everyone should have been speaking up and saying, hey, we will have no people in the system if we don't speak up now. Someone who knows that very well is a man who, for the last 11 years, took an idea and walked forward. He walked forward with a plan, with a firm idea, and he kept at it for all these years. He reminds me of Anaximander, the Greek, who created the first map for the people so they wouldn't get lost in Greece with all the hilly areas and all. So, Mark, what did you think about the few things I discussed as we begin today? And tell me what's happening in your area.
Yeah, Mike, your point on, good morning, Mike Larkin. I think Rich isn't with us. And Henry, always thank you for taking my call and making us sound good. Mike, a lot going on. You touched on everything, you know, even the skilled trade shortage. All the things you talked about were just key points. I want to talk about a few things today. We've got buses coming back, and as I've talked about, Mike, and as you know, the bus tour industry got devastated through the last 18 months.
Bus.
That area, you know, last year we had one bus come to Buffalo, maybe two, and they came to my store to see it. But this year we've got 60-plus back, and this week we have nine, to give you an idea. And I've been stepping on these buses, so we do the welcome so the listeners understand. A bus pulls up to my store. We got a bus entrance. I go on, tell my story, what happened to us, why we started the Made in America store. Always thank our veterans and tell them a few things that's going on now. I'm on some boards, so got to get these kids and give them a purpose. And there's a lot of cheers and thank yous, and these people are happy. But what I want to say this week, we had them coming from Texas, Mike. Last Saturday we had a Texas bus. Yesterday we had Texas, Arkansas, and Mississippi. And we got San Antonio, Texas coming this weekend. They're coming from out west to our store, Mike, which is just unbelievable. And these people are fired up, but they're Americans, every size, shape, color. But you know what? They're all happy. They're getting along. They listen. But when I tell my story, it takes about 7-8 minutes, there's tears, hugs. They want to move me down to Texas, Mississippi. I talked yesterday to a lady that, you know, they run in southern Mississippi. They've got cotton farms that are 8,000 to 10,000 acres. And the population of the town, not the town, Mike, I'm sorry, the population of the county is only 1,200 because these 10,000-acre farms. But they've got combines the size of houses picking the cotton, soybean, and the corn is their number one products, and they're busy, right? Can't, you know, the worker shortage is everywhere. But then I talked to a chicken farmer. He's got 100,000 chickens raising for meat. And then you talk to the ranch owner from Texas that has 200 black Angus. But the point is, when I shake their hands, they're double the size of mine, and mine aren't small. They're true Americans that just come off that bus. It's not like watching the news. I love the bus because it's an education of educations. You're talking to people from all around. I was in California yesterday, Los Angeles. It's pretty neat to hear, but you know what I see? They're getting along. They're united. It's not what the news is selling, and I've always said that, but I see it. It's so strong, Mike. Even the sales are double, and that, you know, that's a part of it. But we cater, and we have Mikey D. We bring food for them. But listening to their stories and their tone, how much they care and are so thankful for having this store that they didn't know that existed. That's the only one in the world. How sad that is at the same time. But I can't say enough about these bus and Americans that are coming to my store. There's still hope, Mike, because they're out there. But what that news is selling is dangerous. And I just want to say that because, you know, they're selling certain things and certain views. Even four ladies surrounded me and said, why do they always show us with no teeth down in Mississippi? We have teeth. We're hardworking Americans. Why is that news always show us like we don't do nothing? You know, so these are the conversations. They're not happy with what's going on. There's no leadership. They're not all Trumpers or Biden. They're true Americans that work for a living and are proud of it. And I'm just, I want to bring that up today because it's so touching. Even my team said, oh, my God, they've never seen these people so wound up, excited, and emotional about our store again. And it brings me up, Mike, because we're on the right path. We're doing good stuff. We're helping our vendors. And they're filling shopping carts. They left 7 full shopping carts so we can ship it to them when they get back home also. So it's something we've never seen. It's unprecedented. The, you know, so buses, huge, coming in. Dorothy does a wonderful job for us. It's nice to see him back. It was survival of the fittest. A lot of the smaller tour companies got wiped out. Diamond Tours is coming to our store, the biggest in the country. They love us, but it's their customer. You got to treat them top quality. You know, you got to be friendly, and you got to talk with them. So we do that, and we do it pretty well, and it's just great to see. Like, it gives me a lot of hope about America, where we are as a country, because these peoples, unfortunately, they're not promoting that happiness, togetherness, and these hardworking Americans. Not enough to me. But when I bring up skilled trades that we should have I want metal shops, wood shops back in schools, there's an applause, and they stand up on the bus. It blows them away. They know that's so needed, right? I mean, it's so obvious, because how can you grow our great country without workers? They can't get help on the, you know, with the cotton farmers, the chicken farmers, the ranch owners. Nobody can get help. Nope. The worker shortage is everywhere. So, Mike, I want to talk about that. Now I do want to switch to, we know there's rapid inflation, and you know what? That's here to stay. I hope you enjoyed your cheaper coffee and your cheaper hamburger. It's not coming back for a long time, and I don't think it's coming back. Things were all about price. Now it gets interesting, but worker shortage is our problem. Number one, should be talked about, top two on the news. Everybody I'm talking to from around the country and local and us, there are no skilled workers coming. You cannot grow your company without them. Right. And we have to make change. So, you know, a big question, Mike, how do we fix it? We've been talking about it. Parents, we went through it all. Larkin knows, we know. This has to happen now. This country is in trouble. Culture change is what they need. People do not want to earn a living. They want one given to them. So we're raising our kids wrong, you know, with that wrong. And how do we change that? It's going to take a leader, which we don't have, a team, which we don't have, in Washington. This has to be, they got to sit down, they got to figure this out, Mike. That's just, that's a lot of my points today. But watching this worker shortage, and then to top it off, which causes the product shortage, I'm getting calls. If anybody watched World News last night, I only watch it once a week before the show. I don't like to get, you know, I'm not a sheep, number one, and I don't want to be shown something that, you know, I'm not sure if it's true, but or sold something, I'm not sure that's true. But the product shortage they showed on World News, there's empty shelves at our big box stores. Larkin, you talked about it. You know how it works. Shipping containers are held out to sea. There's no workers to unload them. And now we're getting calls left and right. These bus people, the Texans of Mississippi, they're buying so many products because they want to have products for gifts for Christmas. Usually the holiday season works from Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, to Christmas Day. It's either 29 days to 32 days, depending how the year falls. That's a big premium time for retail. That shrunk in the last year to about 12 days before Christmas. People really get out 12 days before Christmas. That was your prime time of the year for retail, like it or not. In 12 days, you got to make your money to cover the rest of the year pretty well. Now they're starting to shop now, so it's unprecedented times. People are shopping now. They're also hoarding. There's no products. But the no products, if I could get products, but the big point is no workers causes no products. In America, they're having the components, they have the demand, but they do not have the workers. So this is so many top topics, Mike. Interested, unprecedented times, Mike. We're watching something that's never been seen in the United States before.
No, and it has to end soon, Mark. It really has to end soon because, first of all, you're absolutely right, and the people that stop me to tell me they're doing the same thing, they're turned off by the media. And I agree that the national news media is telling us a lot of bad news every day taking place in the United States. How about telling us about the good stuff and the worker shortages and the skills shortages? I mean, can you imagine if they would join our campaign? I've tried, not only myself, but much bigger outlets than we are have tried, but they feel it's very controversial. Because the imported products are number one, because those products buy the most advertisements on TV and radio. If you go to the store, they're advertising, buy this from this store, place and that. You look at the label, it is made in another country, not in America. This past Saturday, I had to go out to buy something. And I went to one of the big box stores. I won't mention their name, but I walked in there, I thought it was Christmas week. I mean, it's all Christmas trees, wreaths, you name it. And the Christmas tree that was 200, tall Christmas tree, maybe 7 foot or 8 foot, that was $240 last year, $400 this year. So I just said to the guy, I said, you know, I don't usually have an artificial tree. And he said, oh, it went up. Everything went up 40%. Because you better get it now because you may not see a Christmas tree by the time Christmas comes around. I said, oh, I wondered why. It's not even Halloween.
Right.
It's not even Halloween.
It's September, Mike.
And, you know, and there were every kind of thing possible. Decorate your windows. They must have taken everything from the warehouse and put it out for the Christmas holidays to try get rid of it because nothing is coming in. But it also brings attention to the fact how much this country has become dependent on foreign made. When they tell me that it's 70, 80, and in some cases 90% of the Christmas lights you put in your window, on your bushes, everything foreign made. I have to tell you this, too. In the Carolinas, in Detroit, they were making those lights 25 years ago. What happened is a lot of the employees aged out. There were no new people coming out of the schools interested to do assembly, number one, anything to do with electronics, you know, with the trains and stuff like that, so everything started to get placed in foreign countries.
And Mike, I want to bring up, you know, yesterday we had a big call. It was a chain stores, 100 chain stores. We knew them. We've dealt with them before through Made in America with our store and store project, which is putting sections in stores. I'm not mentioning names, but they called us. They're kind of they're in drastic need of product. So they want to know what we can sell them. Of course, we're trying to keep our stores afloat. We're trying to keep our website filled. and make the sales. And the wholesale sale leg, this customer, which was a head buyer, broker, because they are so worried they're going to lose their sales in the fourth quarter. If you don't have the product, you don't have the cash flow, you don't have the sales, you don't need the salesman. People don't realize this will hurt them for years. This is the time to shine, and we got a big call now. We could only do what we can do, but we are sending to our vendors. We're asking, what could you do? Now, out of 100, 10 might be able to say, hey, it's injection molded. I've got the pellets. We can make that. We can help you. But this is huge. You know, you won't hear it anywhere else, but this, like we talked about rebuilding the supply chains, me and Larkin and you, Mike, for years, and this is happening. The demand is there for the Made in America businesses. The demand is there. There's a worker shortage, but they have the demand they always wanted, and I think it's going to stick around for a while because this is a 3 to 5 year catch-up. I talked to a house electrical company, big in our area. They came in, the Sue, Mike, who you know was looking for a breaker, that their house got hit by a back wave of lightning, but breaker shortage. So he told me there's 19 million 20 amp breakers short right now. 19 million in the United States short. Every house has your sub panel that has 20 amp breakers in it. So there's 19 million behind. He said, I don't even know how they could catch up. So it stops the house from being finished. So think about that.
Now, where are those breakers being made?
A lot of them are in the country and overseas. But 19 million behind. You can't get a 20 amp breaker. It's the most common breaker in a house. You start with your 100 amp service, and then you have your breakers. When I'm hearing these numbers, like we have dump trailers, you know, dump trailers finished. We're going to get them painted. We have no hydraulic cylinders to put on them, and they're made locally. The guy has no workers, so he can't finish them for us. But then we can't get the hydraulic pump box either. So we're going to sit on these trailers. I don't know how long. There's no answer. So it just gives you a little flavor of what's going on.
No, I don't know how it can be done without the national media's help.
Yeah.
Promoting the importance of expanding manufacturing and job skills
exactly.
Right here in the United States of America.
It
can't be done.
You
know, I had a discussion, a lively discussion, with a man who is in sales for a newspaper. And he said, well, Michael, let me tell you something. You can't insult your supplier. I said, but wait a minute. You have to look at the other side of the page, too. I said, if you make it here, that person can then advertise the same as the foreign supplier. He said, getting that turned around is going to take several years.
If you're flying the American flag, enjoying the life in America, think about your country.
Oh, yeah.
Support the country you live in.
You know, because I work in human services, I get around to different places. And when somebody tells me I just live in America, I'm not interested to be an American, they're, oh, man, that angers me. And I hate to tell you, that is a lot of these people that have come in the last 10, 15, and 18 years. They just say, no, I like America, but I don't want them to know my business. I don't want this, that. I do everything the way I want to do. Maybe someday I'm going to go back to my country, and I think to myself,
No skin in the game.
Now, a lot of these people are business owners, but they want to deal mainly with the same country's people in these various new communities. It's a very interesting what happened in America. We've become a place. There's no reason for us not to be united. The press, in many cases, is dividing us.
Absolutely, Mike.
You know,
the
pandemic has caused a lot of overreach in the government. In fact, too much overreach. That the national press should have been asking questions about the pandemic. What happened? What can we do? What should we do? What can we get? You know, how can we get to herd immunity and this and that? Close down everything for 3 weeks. 18 months have passed and we're still looking for answers.
So many sources of information. People are confused and interested. It was handled so wrong. You could go in even the Afghanistan. I watched, you know, the top generals saying, hey, we told our President Biden. But then you got top generals working on books with the media and journalists and what? I just, unbelievable.
Yeah, and you know, have you noticed, Mark, if you ever listen on the radio, and I'm a great radio person, and sometimes I watch, you know, TV, but all these people are writing books now. Everybody's writing a book, telling the story in a book, which we have to buy. But they never
they
discussed
but
it. But never discussed it while they were hosts in the media. Never. I don't understand it.
But they're not taking care of the problem at hand.
No.
The brutal fact of the current reality.
In 18 months, we suffered unbelievable through this pandemic, and we still don't have answers. We have a government control. Everybody is saying, do this, do that, you must this, that. But I don't see anybody talking about the real bread and butter issues of America. What are we going to do to get our people back to work? And I have to say this before I turn to Larkin. And many of the people I talked to, when the pandemic hit and their businesses closed and they had to travel 18, 20, 25 miles to their place of work, when the pandemic started to loosen up a little bit and those people had opportunities 3, 4, and 5 miles from their home, decided to take the 3, 4, 5 mile away job and forget about the other job. This is also another problem which should be addressed in the media, because a lot of companies that, you know, depended on people to come from 25, 30 miles away, those people are not coming. They already got the idea how much easier it is to get to work in 5 miles and get back from work from 5 miles to their house, rather than waiting in traffic jams on expressways and all that stuff where you're 25, 30 miles away. How about we ask Larkin? Larkin Connolly, the doctor of SCORE and the small business advocate, tell us what you think of what's happening. What do you think of our conversation today?
Yeah, it's great. Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Mark. I've already said good morning to Henry, as we were lamenting the perils of the Steelers and the Eagles, but it's good to hear you, Mark. It's good to hear what you're talking about, and I've got to tell you, I drove on I-95 about 2.5 hours south to Melbourne, Brevard County, Broward County, right where Broward County is, which was where all the hanging chads were and whatever, and again to see children for my guardian at Lydenmark, and I was coming back up 95. I don't know what I was listening to, but I was just kind of buzzing along, and it's such a boring drive. But I was coming along, and all of a sudden I saw a container, one of those wheelless kind of, you know, the big containers that they load on flatbed 18 wheelers and drive around. But this container was traveling without a truck. And I'm coming up beside him going, what the heck is going on here? It's a container just driving up the road. And I finally got up beside it, and Mark, some Mark Andel in Florida said, you can't find truckers. You can't find equipment. He put a flat ball in the back of his 250, and he put a hook on it, and he's dragging the container up the road to its delivery point. So 18-wheelers, please understand that you're operating in one of the most ingenious entrepreneurial nations that has ever been invented. And you are now urging all of the 250s and F-350s and F-250s that are big enough to pull these things to put receiving balls in the back of their truck, you know, latch, whatever you would call it, latch, and they're pulling a... I looked at this thing, I thought, hey, what the hell is it driving up the road by itself? Here's this dinky little 250 up in front, and he's just buzzing along at 65, 70 miles an hour, just happy as he could be. I just thought, only in America can you come
and
up with...
And you know, Larkin, it means where there's a will, there's a way.
Well, yeah. Well, it's not so much the will as And this is what you have to tell somebody that wants to go into the small business. He graduates from school, from technical school, and he wants with an HVAC degree, and he wants to buy a panel truck and get into HVAC. He's got to know, is there an opportunity? Is there, more important than anything, is there a need for what you're doing? There is obviously an enormous need for what Mark is doing, and he fills in cracks that people didn't even know were in the pavement.
Mm-hmm.
But, so is there a need? These dually guys, and I'm sure they're either truckers without equipment or they're farmers that use these big things to haul wagons around full of hay and corn and melons and everything else that we plant in our county and along the 95. They're just finding an opportunity. And there's a problem. There's an opportunity to solve it. And Walmart steps up to the plate and says, we can't get these things on the dock. Once they get on the dock, we're having a hard time getting them off the dock and on trucks because there's no equipment. What does Walmart have thousands of roaming around the country? 18-wheelers pulling product. So they're in the process of fitting wagons to pull their own goods, and they're going to send their trucks in and deliver their own product to their own stores off of their docks. So again, to resolve an enormous problem that Walmart has, it takes, the ability and the deep pockets, and they have them. They have 18 wheelers sitting all over the place. So they're going to go get their own product. You can't bring it to us, we'll go get it ourselves. So that's the mark of free enterprise and the ingenuity that it replaces, or that it, the holes in the ground that it decides it's going to fill up by coming up with solutions. You mentioned something culturally, Mark, and that's what I originally wanted to talk about today. I got to thinking about, and I have spent endless hours reading and thinking about America and where we are now, how we got here, whose fault is it? Well, the list of people whose fault it is looks like a Christmas list that unrolls and falls on the ground. I mean, everybody had a hand in deserting manufacturing in this country. Everybody.
Yes.
From local politicians to national politicians to buyers to big box store owners, everybody. To the consumer himself, who without regard to what it was doing to his neighbor and that his neighbor's job, said, I'm going to Walmart and pay half price for something that isn't going to last long enough to get it off the property that I bought it on. I mean, so everybody played a part in this. Mm. And I'm trying to think, okay, but how did we get from that start point to the end? And I thought, well, my hometown, Pittsburgh, is a perfect example. I mean, it's an absolute perfect example. There was a little company called Pittsburgh Steel Company. And in 1901, it chose a spot about 40 miles up the river from Pittsburgh on the Monongahela River in a little town called Manesson. And they built a two-mile stretch on the river of a steel plant. Rolled steel, barred steel, whatever it was you needed, and it became one of the largest steel manufacturers in the country. And so that's great. I mean, it employed 3,000 people. A guy comes along and he goes, listen, not everything. I mean, I know you love the river because you can get it downriver and upriver, and you can go a lot of different places with riverboats, but you're going to need more than that. So a guy comes in, and his name, he had a funny name, I can't even... Philander C. Knox, Jr., comes in and goes, well, what you need is a railroad. Bam, he's laying track, employing people, creating the transportation necessary to get the coal to the steel mill and to get the steel away from the steel mill and get it distributed to wherever the buyers are. And this is what happened. It's just one thing builds on another. Then 3 years later, 1904, 1905, here comes a company independent of Pittsburgh Steel called Pittsburgh Nail. And what do they manufacture? Nails from rolled steel that they bought from Pittsburgh Steel, and they become one of the world's largest producers of nails. But the whole idea was created in that entrepreneurial mind that is fed by the opportunity that it's given. And that's what happened when Pittsburgh Steel comes along, Pittsburgh Nail comes along, the railroad comes along, coal miners are all of a sudden going, now how are we going to get coal? We got coal all over West Virginia. How are we going to get it up here to feed the ore necessary to make this steel? And it's just one thing after another. And the final blow, 7 years later, the guy who invented chain link fences, guy by the name of Baker, built a chain link fence plant on the other side of the steel mill inland, and buying steel, buying rolled nails. I hope you get what I'm saying.
You have to
stirp that spirit, and there's that one thing that gets laid down, and everything starts building off of it, and it just starts building and building, and people were going, well, there's coal there, there's steel there, there's rolled steel. I can make housings for toasters if I can, whatever. I mean, I'm just throwing mud on the wall to see what's. There are a million different opportunities, and that's what has to happen. We have to change our mind about the way we think. It's not going to get any easier in this country because the prices in this country are going up, 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 and up. And the culprits there, and there are culprits, are the guys who are saying, hey, this is an atmospheric condition. Everybody's expecting inflation. We're going to give it to them. And there's no increase in their price or anything. Stopped the other day and I saw a guy, they're building like 175 homes. And I just pulled in there just to see what they were building. Pretty nice homes. And I pulled that they've already built the place where the sales office, which is one of the homes that they turn into an office. I went in there and I'm chatting with this guy and I said, well, so I don't see a lot of action out there. There's no dust or dirt going on. And he said, we can't find trust. I said, what? We can't find the trust. We got these things built up to where the wall meets the roof, and we don't have any trust. You can't build a house without trust. I said, well, why don't you build trust? And he said, we're not prepared for that. We really aren't prepared for that. This issue isn't going to be some entrepreneur who comes along and decides he's going to build a trust company. We don't need the trust company. We already have those lumber yards all over Florida. There's so many lumber. They're having a hard time getting it. They're getting it at prices that you pay $89.95 for a truss. And now they want $3.95, $4.95.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, so they're already
snowballs.
What they don't have is workers, what they don't have is lumber. So we've got this, you know how my brother and I used to take dominoes and stand them up one next to the other all the way from the living room to the kitchen. And then we hit the first one over and just watch them all fall. That's the situation that we're in right now.
Yep.
Not only do we have to get people back to work, but the system's going to have to catch up with the damage that has been caused here, which is increased wages. You sit there and go, why hasn't Washington, D.C. passed the minimum wage law? They don't have to. The marketplace is already created. An uptick in the minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So,
market.
And the market. But
you're going to like this. I was talking to somebody on from the bus from Nebraska. So weeks back, you talked about going to Dollar General's, I think, and $6.50 was the minimum wage. Or, you know, ours is $12.50 in New York. Well, this lady brought up a serving wage in Nebraska. Guess how low? You know, serving wage is a little different in New York. We have it because they get tips, so it's not $12.50. It might be $9. But in Nebraska, it's $2.13. A little too low.
Yeah. Well, in Florida,
you know, talking from somebody in California, $17 isn't enough because of the cost of living. But when I heard $2, I asked her like four times, "You sure I'm going to use this on the radio?" She's $2.13. So we definitely have some issues with way too low wages. And like you said, it's taking care of itself right now.
Yeah, it is. And I saw the other day, Broward County, again, the site for the Hanging Chad, and so famously, probably one of the most infamous counties that we have in the state of Florida. And I'm driving by, and there's a sign that says, well, let's put it this way. The group home that I was visiting for kids, $500 referral fee. All you got to do is refer somebody to them, and if they go to work, gets checked for $500. Hmm. The bus company down there, $3,000 signing bonus.
Yeah.
$3,000. Yeah. Now, I think you get it in thousand. I was asking somebody. I stopped to buy gas, and I just went, you know, I think I'm moving down here.
You know why, Larkin? Without workers, you cannot operate or grow your business. We got waste management up here. You may have it down there, but recycling, you know, garbage disposal company. But they're offering $5,000 to $7,000 sign up for truck drivers.
Okay, I got
driving a garbage truck.
Yep, I can top that.
You know, yeah.
We have the same thing as waste management. I can't think of the name of it. You'd know it, but they do not only our garbage but our recycling. They are now so understaffed. They have discontinued recycling. Discontinued. We stopped recycling.
Well,
so, no, it's a very tenuous situation of getting people back to work, but and building the downline orders, the pipeline of orders and services that, you know, can feed it all together.
Yeah, and Larkin, when I brought up that $2.13 Nebraska, the conversation started with they can't get restaurant workers, and why was it's too low now? Because there's other opportunities, other places. It's like, Mike, when you said they're not driving as far. So all these things contribute, and I don't mind paying more to my people, but if I can't finish a product because there's no component to finish the product, I can't sell that product, so it hurts sales. So it's all related in this crazy little messed up ball.
Yeah. Yep, and listen, part of the fault is that we just, without any consequences, we started just paying people, okay, you get $1,100 this month until this economy gets back. Well, listen, quite frankly, if I'm in that class of trade, $1,100 might get me to stay home and do some work under the table somewhere and really start peeling off some Benjamins that I can put away. So, you know, if you're going to pay somebody to work, you got to make them earn that money. There is no such thing as free money.
You know, Larkin,
I don't care if they pick up garbage
right
on the side of the street or whatever they do.
Well, here's one.
Make them even come in to pick up the check.
Yeah, well, another person talked, you know, the new younger generation loves the phone. They get so much information being thrown at them, they can't process it fast enough. But a couple of business people I talked about, the people come in, they're so worried about how they look and how they act. He goes, they're just worried about, can you work? These young generation overthinks, too. We want workers. We're not worried about how you look, you know, this and that. They want workers at this point. But there's so many people worried about a lot of things. There's just so many trouble. When we talk culture change, number one, you got to want to work. You got to want to earn a dollar. You got to know that that's better than getting free money. But there's so many things broken up. And our younger generation, to me, is confused.
I just want to add one more thing to what Mark said that I think needs to be stressed. This is going to last a long time.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't over tomorrow. This isn't over at the end of the year.
You're dead on, Larkin.
This isn't over in 22 or 23. It's going to take a while.
I'm up to 5 years, I'm saying now, but, you know, probably hopefully.
Yep.
It's long.
I mean, it's the truth. And I spent, not yesterday because I was on the road, but I spent this morning preparing for the show and doing a few other things with C-SPAN on, watching this Afghanistan withdrawal thing. And I go, this is my government at work. This is my government hard at work. It's one side pointing the finger at the other side. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. You didn't do this. Right. You can't blame Biden. Blame Trump. No, you can't blame Trump. Blame Biden. And this is exactly what they're doing here. They haven't solved the problem. They haven't decided that the chain of command was overlooked or something. That, you know, all they're pointing is whose fault it is. I mean, this is just bizarre.
Yeah, you're so right, Larkin. And when Trump's gone, he's old age, and Biden's gone, the system needs to be fixed.
Right, absolutely.
Not the person in charge. You know,
guys,
system's broke.
I have to tell you this. I'm looking at the official government statistics. And for your information, as we speak on this day, the 29th of September, there are 14,317,000 people on unemployment.
14 million?
14 million.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to clarify. It's better, Michael, because I dealt with this when I was running that golf subsidiary. and as a matter of fact, I appeared, although I never said a word. I just submitted my testimony in writing because they didn't have time to get me on, and there wasn't any television screens back then. Television didn't care. Nobody cared like you do now. But at any rate, you have to talk about unemployment and percentages. Don't give me numbers. Numbers are crazy. But if you tell me that there's 4% unemployment, that's what the unemployment rate was in 1955. 4%. But what you have to continue to tell yourself is half of that, 2%, at all times, is hardcore unemployed. There are people that if there were jobs available, they're just not capable of going to work. But they do collect unemployment benefits or some sort of federal subsidy. So don't throw a number at me. Tell me a percentage, because now I know that I can take or make that, whatever you said, 40 million or whatever it was, jobs, turn it into a percentage. So that you can really understand the number.
Well, Larkin, and what are we going to do to help those hardcore unemployed become employed in a country that needs workers?
Yeah, well, Michael, you have to understand hardcore unemployed. Hardcore unemployed can work at Goodwill, can work somewhere where there has to be almost one-on-one supervision. And I'm not at all suggesting that we abandon that, but there are special programs for that, and I think it's a number we need to be aware of, and I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't. I'm just saying that half of, or 2%, back in the day it was like 1.5 or 1.25, but it's now up to about 2% of Americans are hardcore unemployed, and that means that even if you had a job, they're really not capable of holding it. They're not capable of doing the job without just constant supervision. I tried to hire a young man who, I when I owned a food business, we delivered food to a school. We delivered lunch to them every day. And we carted the lunches in and came back. One of the kids there helped set the table. And he never said a word, could not speak, preferred not to speak, or just didn't speak. But I would talk to him every day. I'd say, you're doing a great job or whatever, but there was always somebody right over his shoulder, you know, because his mind would wander and he'd forget what he was doing. Now, well, whatever. I said to them, I have some really rote work that has to be done, you know, stacking this here, putting this here, pulling this off a machine, whatever. That I think he might qualify for. And he said, well, that'd be great. I mean, we can get a federal assistance to hire. And I don't want that. I just want, let's put them to work and see if it works. But it didn't. It truly didn't, because he was overwhelmed with where he was by the number. You know, I had 35 people putting food together, and it was just too much for him. And I felt bad. I really wanted to see the guy, you know, come into to a decent job that he could do. But he was truly hardcore unemployed, and there's nothing you can do.
Now, Larkin, I'm interested in hearing that statistic. However, I want to ask, is that something that could have or should have been identified during high school years or junior high school years?
Well, it was in the case of the kid I'm telling you about. All of those kids were in a special school. And sometimes it's emotional. Sometimes it's intelligence. Sometimes it's physical.
Mm-hmm.
And not as many physical, but some people are just absolutely, I mean, these are people that they're confined to a sitting position.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Goodwill does a wonderful, wonderful job with
yes,
them.
They
it's great. And they need to be applauded for doing it. But
Great work. And Larkin, I cannot tell you, being in human services, I cannot tell you how wonderful the people who are who take care of these people and give them rehabilitation. There's also another thing which I see here on the government charts. It says 8,397,000 could be employed immediately. I don't understand if they could be employed immediately, what's the problem? I also want to quote something else from the site. It's very interesting. We have 332 million people in the country. Right now, today, there's 153 million on the payroll somewhere. Let me just tell you a little bit about that. 120 are in private sector jobs. 9,596 are self-employed. Union workers represent 15,509,000. Government employees represent 22,792,000. Manufacturing positions, 12,430,000. Needed in manufacturing today, 17,149,000, of which 12,430,000 are filled jobs.
I'm telling you, Michael, I'm so glad you came up with that number. If Americans aren't overwhelmed at the number of people who work for the government, then you're not paying attention. You have no idea what you're doing. You're just walking around in a funk. It's absolutely extraordinary. They're the number one employer in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. To run, and it's amazing. I mean, I listened to a government worker tell me, I am not taking any of my paid compensation time, sick leave and whatever it is. I'm amassing all of it. And right now, I have so much time in the bank, I can retire at 54 on a government pension, full pension.
Well, let's see, Larkin, the national news media could certainly help bring attention to some of these issues that are listed right on the government site.
Well, that's not going to sell papers. That's not going to sell TV time.
Right.
They're not going to do it. They have no obligation to do that, and they're not going to. They tell you that which will enrage you in hopes that you get so enraged, you'll come back tomorrow to be enraged again.
Right, entertainment, Larkin.
Entertainment. It's making entertainment out of what our problems are on a day-in and day-out basis.
Every gym.
And do you think they're gonna support? This is one of my new pet peeves: dark money, the billions and billions and billions of dollars that are paid, billions of dollars that are paid to senators and congressmen by lobbyists and are put in their war chests, which are distributed in a very, very funky manner when they leave their government job. That has to stop. But why isn't it going to stop? Why isn't it going to stop? Because a significant percentage of that is paid to television stations and networks.
And pay these
campaign ads, and all of a sudden you're going to say, well, guess what? We're taking away a couple billion dollars.
And Larkin, here I sit with the Made America store. A bank won't look at me to give me capital.
Right.
You're right. You're at,
they won't.
Oh, God. You know, guys, this was a wonderful show today. I can't thank you enough. Larkin, you are absolutely the best. Mark, you are always the best, and you give us important information. I'm really pleased to meet the people in my travels. We have another great event this Sunday in Philadelphia on the Parkway, the Pulaski Day Parade, and of course it brings out a lot of people. We'll have the opportunity to talk. We'll be giving out our flyers again with Mark and Rich and yourself, Larkin, on the cover there, urging people to tune in. But thank you for all that you're doing. Remember, National Small Business Weekend begins on Friday. It continues on Saturday and Sunday. Go out and support your local businesses because they really need you. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, may God bless you and yours. Have a great one.
You too, guys. We have a great team. And Mike, thank you for having this show.